That image in behind the title, who knows what that is? I mean, if the title doesn't, okay, sure. It's a starting block. It's also my chosen metaphor for this morning's teaching, which is a teaching about starting a new year. A starting block, so I'm told, because this may stun you, but I was actually never a runner. I mean, I hit people who ran on the rugby field, right? But I didn't actually run, other than trying to avoid people who were trying to hurt me. But I'm told that that is a device used by sprint athletes in track and field at the start of a race to keep their feet from slipping as they push out at the sound of the starting gun. It used to be, actually, that runners would dig holes in the dirt track with trowels that they were given at the start of the race. They had to give a $5 deposit to get a trowel back and all that stuff. No, I'm kidding. But you can see where digging holes in the track might become a little problematic. Not very stable, inconsistent starts, and holes in the track needing to be filled and refilled and refilled and so on and so on. Eventually, starting blocks were invented that had spikes in place, and they were made out of, when evolved to this way, out of wood to sheet to aluminum to now light alloy blocks that even have sensors in them so that they can identify any of those crazy false start people. January 1st, 2017 is a kind of starting block, isn't it? It's a calendar point out of which we push into a new year. And making New Year's resolutions has been a long time related part of our collective psyche around this idea of pushing out into a new year. Evidently, more than 4,000 years ago, the Babylonians celebrated the new year, though they did so in March when the spring harvest came. They didn't celebrate it in January. It was a 12-day festival. So, hold that thought. That's breathtaking, isn't it? A day off or 12 days off to start a new year? Yes, please. They affirmed loyalty to the king, or at least the one that was on the throne at the time, or they would crown a new one, and they affirmed their gods whom they worshipped. Centuries later, the ancient Romans had similar traditions to push into their new year, which also began in March. City magistrates were affirmed, or they were newly sworn in, and city leaders and soldiers swore an oath of loyalty to the emperor. Lots of swearing, essentially. At some point around 300 BC, New Year's Day shifted to January 1st. Rome was, and we think this is how it went down, Rome was a military culture, society, and as the empire expanded, the generals had to, well, travel, push out further and farther from home base. Prime battle season was in the spring, don't you know that? Which probably made a March 1st swear-in of leaders a little too late if they were to be up and running for their campaigns by March 1st. The first half of the New Year's Day in Rome would have been taken up by public ceremonies, oath-taking, and temple sacrifices, much like the Babylonians, actually. While the second half of the day was for social activities. Citizens would bring each other gifts of honey, pears, and other sweets as presents for a sweet new year. You got that right. I say chocolate, but maybe not. It's interesting, isn't it, that the evolution of New Year's Day has included several broad themes, some celebration of some sort, a nod to some sort of religious system, and making commitments. New Year's resolutions have become a secular tradition, and most folks who make them these days focus on self-improvement, and very specifically, and here are the top five. And the first one is always mine, and I get so far, and I'll explain that later maybe. Losing weight, eating better, exercising more, getting out of debt, saving money, or maybe even bundling all five of these resolutions together. Exercise to save money, because push-ups and sit-ups, well, they don't cost a dime, right? To get out of debt to save money for healthier, more expensive food, because you're going to have it to buy that to lose weight. Actually, don't do that. Don't bundle five together. Do this really quickly. Make one resolution, be really specific, and focus on it. Attach a very specific behavior to it. And then thirdly, practice, practice, practice. For instance, if I think that better health is related to better eating, sleeping, and moving, exercising, which I think it is, then I can resolve to get to bed by 10 o'clock each night to give myself a better shot at getting the requisite 7 to 8 hours that my body seems to need. The specific behaviors I can attach to this resolution are kind of obvious. You know, climb the stairs to my bedroom at around 9:30 for my series of pre-sleeping rituals, which includes some random flossing. And then dive under the covers of my bed around 10 o'clock. As my circadian rhythms would have it, I would get to practice this every night. Making New Year's resolutions has been a long time practice. There's just something about a new year that gives us the feeling of fresh start and a new beginning. When in reality, as Josh pointed out to us at the kitchen table before he left last weekend, there's no difference between December 31st and January 1st. Nothing mystical, for instance, happens at midnight on December 31st, other than perhaps us going to bed with half-baked intentions of a week of chocolate detoxing after a season of chocolate engorging. Depending on your source, here are some stats for you to consider. Depending on your source, half of us, on average, make New Year's resolutions. Sadly, half of those give up their resolutions within the first 6 months of the year, so we're already down to a quarter of the population. And perhaps sadder still is that of those who make it past the first 6 months, only roughly 10% of them are successful at keeping to their resolutions to year's end. And most of those resolutions, as I mentioned earlier, are physical. I'm going to show you a video very shortly from the Skit Guys. It's been a Skit Guys season, Christmas, and now in the new year, that I thought was pretty provocative, actually, and thoughtful and kind of humorous. But it asks, essentially, so if you want to cue that up, not, don't start it yet, though. By the way, it asks this question. If you could revisit your past New Year's resolutions, what would they say about who you are today? Don't start it yet. I got to tell you. Thanks, Nat, for hanging in there this morning. We had pre-service problems with our, and this has been a while since this has happened, actually, so we're grateful it doesn't happen more often, but we had some pre-service snags, and Nat did everything he could to get it from nothing to where you saw it. There was one song slide in there that corrupted everything. That's why we went dark screen at that one point. So apologize for that, but thanks for hanging in there, Nat. I appreciate that. Do we want the lights off for this, guys? Is it easier to see the video with the lights off? Then maybe, Alan, can I get you to push buttons back there? And Nat, when it's dark enough, can you just throw that on? And Tony, you ready with volume? I don't know what that means. We'll see, I guess, see what that means. Okay.
No.
Wow, where did you get this?
That's not that. Wow.
Which one of you guys did this?
This was my journal in high school. Seriously, have y'all been reading this?
This is my childhood diary.
These are my New Year's resolutions from last year.
It's my resolution list from 1992.
Oh, I was a weird kid.
Figure out what global warming is and do something about it.
Break the world record in juggling.
Start flossing.
Keep an eye on my thinning hair.
Wow. First thing on the list, survive Y2K.
Invite Gary to church. Nope, didn't happen.
It's a little hard to invite a guy you had to fire.
Stock up on water and tons of Twinkies. Boy, the struggle was real.
Teach Susie to sit, stay, and roll over. Susie's my little sister.
Get a George Clooney Caesar haircut to impress the ladies.
Binge watch Lost. Did it. Found out who was in the hatch. Bit of a letdown.
Love my mom more. Be kind to her and stop rolling my eyes. She was the first helicopter mom, probably, in the 80s.
Move out of my parents' house. I'm going to move it to this year's list.
Work out. Get less pudgy. That's a big fat no. Pun intended.
Hey, Mom.
Hi, son. Oh, my God.
I got you on speakerphone. So.
Oh, my gosh.
Hey.
You know, Martha, your cousin, is going to come here.
Hey.
To Oklahoma for college. Mom. I'm so glad.
Be as awesome a mommy as my mommy was to me. If only I would know how difficult that would be. She pretty much raised us by herself, so I don't think I can be near as good as she was.
Keep promise to Grandma to watch Matlock each week, then call her to discuss it. She loved that show. I didn't see one episode. I missed every episode. Miss her.
Invite Steve to church. He went with me. That night he said he wanted nothing to do with God. 3 years later, I get this call. It's like midnight, 1 a.m. He calls me and says, Ed, you're never going to believe this, but I accepted Christ. It's pretty cool.
Tell Dahlia how much I really love her.
Be a better dad. Quit yelling. Still working on that one.
Read the Bible more. I think I read the Bible more.
Start taking my faith seriously. I have done this. It's scary, but I'm doing this one.
Get to know God better. I know one thing. He loves me. Jesus loves me. I'm living proof.
Surrender my life to God. Fully.
Spend more time with God. That's been on my resolution list for as long as I can remember. I've been a believer for 40 years. And I always want to spend more time with him. It's one of the most important things, and it's always one of the hardest things to just get done, you know?
Oh, I love Jesus more. Te amo, Jesus.
Super, if I could get a light. And I don't mean for smoke, I mean the lights. Just thought I'd clarify. Thanks, though. So, we're on the starting block of a new year. What spiritual New Year's resolutions would we make? And as you ponder that, maybe to confirm what you've already thought about and planned to do, or to maybe invite the Spirit of God to help you with that this morning, I'd like to invite Anne up, if she wouldn't mind coming up at this point, to share a poem that she has written on this very topic, actually. Do you have a copy? Because I have a copy. That's awesome. I'm going to get you a mic now, okay? Perfect. That's the worst, eh? Thanks.
Okay, this is just called New Year, and I wrote it. Actually, I often struggle with New Year's, just had some loss in my life, and so I used to dread every New Year, and I felt that this was God's message to me a couple of years ago when I wrote it, so it's hopefully an encouragement to you as well. Christmas wonder may be gone, winter days may still seem long, New splendor here I find this day. New year brings hope in fresh array. Crisp, bright day, unspoiled and pure. Clean, blank page to start once more. Tales that have yet to be told as stories shape and life unfolds. Have no fear of what life lends, of words and lyrics not yet penned. It's God himself who writes the notes, narrates a song of love and hope. The words were written long ago, before your birth, composed to show. Each day ordained for you was set, within God's book he'll not forget. Have no fear this brand new year, his plans for you are true, sincere. Days may not flow as you expect, or work the way your hope directs. Life may not be just as you dreamed. You might express what should have been, but God sees life's canvas as a whole. He knows the nature of your soul. He knows the plans he has for you to prosper and grow something new. Not to harm or bring despair, but to grow your heart more fair. Each step you take is in his hand, paved for you just as he planned. When guilt or fear tempts your heart, remember you've been set apart. How in past years he had your hand, how through the storms he helped you stand, showed how his plan was meant to be, for reasons clear, as now you see. He'll never leave you nor forsake, for wounded reeds he does not break. With him each day is new once more, with his strength you will endure. He knows the song within your heart, will sing it back when it departs. He knows the colors of your soul, your dreams, your hopes, your every goal. Uncharted though the trail may seem, he chose the path that's best, you see. In every place that you will tread, the master's there, he's walked ahead. Your tale has much yet to be told, as his story shapes and life unfolds. Hidden blessings wait for you, gifts yet to open, ventures new. It has not entered heart or mind, his dream for you, his best design. Treasures that you least expect, joy in abundance, purpose yet. May this year bring blessings new, give thanks for old, look forward to. For it's God himself who writes the notes, narrates his song with love and hope. Psalm 16:11 says, you make known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. Thank
you. Yeah. Thanks. One of my favorite preachers is a guy named Bruxy Cavey, and he hates public speaking. But he does it because the message he thinks he's called to share is too important not to speak. I think Anne feels the same way about reading her poetry. As an artist, and I would say that is partly, if not wholly, what you are, Anne. It's difficult for many to be up here. So thanks for being courageous enough to share and for blessing us that way. And because I'm a pastor, I'm now going to exegete that poem. Meaning, never mind. But I am going to say this. As we make our spiritual New Year's resolutions, I'd like you to keep in mind what Anne has just reminded us of in her poem. And in their bullet form then, not nearly as poetic. God has a plan for our lives. God has and he will walk with us. Anne spoke about track record, looking back, seeing where God has been faithful. God knows us and he loves us. And God invites us to participate with him in the story he's telling of, as Anne ended her poem, Love and Hope. Lots of us, like the folks in Skit Guys, make spiritual New Year's resolutions to invite someone to church, to read the Bible more, to take our faith more seriously, to know God better, to surrender our lives more fully, to spend more time with God, to love Jesus more. And these are really good. But they often fail and fall prey to the same stats as I shared earlier about making physical resolutions. Only 10% out of the 25 actually follow through. So, back to point of digression, here are some guidelines for you. Make one resolution. Be specific and focus on it. You're welcome to make other resolutions along the way as you experience success in the ones you've set. And by success, I think what I mean by that is whatever resolution you've made has become habitual. It's just become part of your life, right? But otherwise, just take it one at a time. Two, attach a very specific behavior to it. Make it measurable so you can track your progress, so you'll know when you've arrived, kind of. Almost all of the Skit Guy's resolutions, for instance, were way too vague for my liking. Now, there's probably plenty going on camera that probably gives context and body and specific too, but let's just take those as an example. How do you measure reading the Bible more? More than what? More than who? What does more look like for you? How do you have a sense of taking your faith more seriously? How did that girl know that she had taken her faith more seriously in the video? How do you get to know God better? Is it more stuff about God? Or is it more often and more easily and more quickly turning to Jesus as the first thing we do, as we sung about earlier this morning? How does one surrender more fully to God? What does that look like? How do you spend more time with God? Praying more? Doing more in His name? Being around others who are trying to spend more time with God? Like what? What is it? It might help to choose your acronym, KISS, or SMART, or if you're ambitious, SMART KISS. KISS, if some people say KISS stands for keep it simple, stupid, I think, why would you say it that way? Self-condemning acronyms, not good. Keep it short and simple, as resolutions go. SMART, or SMART goals, specific, measurable, agreed upon, realistic, and time-based. Practice. Again, using the video examples. Read a passage of the Bible every day. Practice every day. For instance, focus on the words of our worship songs. Drop out and don't sing. Sing sometimes. Pay attention. Maybe that's something you want to do more intentionally this year. Take notes on the teaching, whoever is teaching. If that's how you remember things better, be more intentional as you come. Come with a pad, a notebook. Come with your Bible open. Get it ready. Learn one new thing each week about God. How are you going to do that? I don't know. You'll figure it out. Fast once a week. Keep a weekly prayer journal and pray for people by name and update your journal. Invite others to pray for you. Share your giftedness. Give your time. Make it really specific. And give your time is not nearly specific enough. What kind of time are we talking about? Once a week, in this context, for this hour. All of this said, keeping to our resolutions will be really hard if we are not convinced of why we do them. We need to quote Simon Sinek, to start with why. For instance, why do I want to get to bed by 10 o'clock? To avoid late night fatigue, saturated, emotionally escalated parenting moments? Maybe. Is it to have more energy? And more energy for what? More energy to do more, to serve more, to be more so that people will like me more? What's the motivation? How about more energy for my family? Why would that be important? Because they generally get the last of my energy through the week after it's almost all spent at work, like you. And don't our families deserve a little better than that? That might work, as far as whys go. Taking another example from the video, why would you invite someone to church? Because you've heard me say at some time that it'd be a good thing to do? Because we've guilted ourselves into thinking that's the most basic form of evangelism, inviting people to come here to let the preacher tell them what they need to hear about the gospel? That's not going to do it. But what if we invited people to church because we've been praying for them, listening to them and their story and where they're at in their lives? And we have a sense that they may be at a point in their lives where coming to church might make sense to do so. What if we invited them to church because we agree that we uniquely experience the presence of God when we sing and we pray and we open the Bible together? What if we invited people to church because we're proud of our church, our genuine warmth, our excellent worship music, our Bible-based teaching for kids and youth and adults? What if we invited people to church because it gives them the chance to experience the God who made them, loves them, and gave his life for them? That might work. So, what spiritual New Year's resolutions might we make as we push out from the 2017 starting block? Well, obviously, I can't make your resolution for you, but I will offer you even more guidance than I have already, and time at the end, if we have it, and we might not, to make your own. So the first point I'd make is this. Be encouraged. You're not alone. This is why I'd asked Anne to come up to read the poem that she read. It is all about encouragement, but it doesn't stop there. Paul and John, and not the Beatles, the apostles, wrote this. Firstly, Paul, then John. I can do everything through him. This would be on the back of Steph Curry's running shoe, by the way. I can do all things. I can do everything through him, through Jesus, who gives me strength. And then secondly, if a man remains in me, and me is Jesus, and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, nothing. Be encouraged. If God is at the center of our New Year's resolutions, and if we commit to partnering with him to accomplishing them, then I think our chances of keeping to our resolutions might just land us in the 10 percentile out of the 25% that I spoke of earlier, so that we will accomplish and succeed and make these things habitual by year's end. Number two, ask God for wisdom. We say this all the time, but I wonder how often we actually do this operatively, reflexively, habitually. I hit a wall. There's an issue. Do I turn there? Bang, Lord, make me wise. In terms of resolution, what kind of resolution should I make, Lord? Would you make me wise about that? And then, having made it, would you make me wise on how to fulfill it? The Bible says in James, if any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. Third point, and that's the third of four, ask God to give you the strength to persevere. We're going to have setbacks and failures and naysayers. You did what? You made that resolution? You really did think you'd make like that, right? On our way towards fulfilling our New Year's resolutions. And when we encounter them, let's remind ourselves of part of Paul's prayer for the church at Ephesus. So for the believers there, he prayed this. So I'm going to borrow this. I'm going to hijack Paul's prayer and say, make it your own. Make it personal. And it is this in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16. I pray. So this is Paul praying, pastoral prayer for that church out of his, God's glorious riches. What would he be praying for them? That he would, God would strengthen you with power through his spirit. So it's power. How? Through his spirit. Where? In your inner being. In your inner, wow. New lips for the new year, right? in your inner being. Since Paul prayed it for others, I'd be certain we could pray it for ourselves as well, that God would strengthen us with power by his Spirit in our inner being. And you know this has happened to you. If there's ever been a time where you've had this unusual strength of perseverance or even physical strength, that you've been able to do something that you did not think you could do, why would you not pray for that? I would. I will. Not just as you make your resolutions, but just in general. But a good thing for the resolutions too. Number four, would you find a cheerleader, someone in your life? I think there was a time when you would call that an accountability partner, and that's fine. You can use that terminology, but find someone who will cheer you on and push you. Here's some scientific rationale for that. In a study about goal achievement conducted by psych prof Dr. Gail Matthews from the Dominican University in California, the results showed that people who wrote down their goals and shared this information with a friend and sent them weekly updates were on average 33% more successful in accomplishing their stated goals than those who merely formulated them. We just know this intuitively. It's nice when science catches up to that and says this is what it is. So fully one-third do it more than those that don't, that write it down and share it with somebody and check in with that somebody. Find someone who will just encourage you along that. Those are some guidelines. Nope. Danny, can I get you guys to come on up at this point? Or not? Yeah. Yeah. Let's do that. But while they're coming, I will say this, guys. This is a time to be thinking through a New Year's resolution and what we've been talking about this morning all together. So why don't we take a moment in prayer as they're gearing up to bless us as we close our service. Again, just to remind you that there are prayer people in our midst that are happy to pray for you after the service. And you may think, oh, tear down so noisy. Sure, it is actually. So we'd ask you, if you have that need, there's a gym, half gym back there that's quite quiet. Where they meet prior to the service is just outside the library, and they're praying for our service there. So that's actually pretty quiet in that back hallway. Just grab one of them and ask them to pray for you if that's a need of your heart this morning, okay? Let me pray for you in the meantime.